Remember the whole thing with the Bee Gees and Disco Night?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where was that? Was that
Chicago?
Cleveland?
It was Chicago.
Comiskey. Comiskey. Are you aware of that?
No. It was a Bee Gees night? Like the group?
Well, the people like got tired of, I don't know exactly what the circumstances
was. It was
Death
to Disco Night.
Yes. And everybody brought their albums. They threw
them on the field.
And it turned into a riot, and they were burning
nuts.
Them. It was a disaster.
Why did it turn into a riot?
Because people started just hating on disco and throwing things on the field. And
they were throwing albums on the field.
Yeah.
I love disco. That's crazy.
But that's another one that, like,
I remember the clip the comes in my mind. I remember seeing it. Yeah.
Sure. So, and then you had one other one. What?
I had a couple. As we went to break, I was thinking about the iconic fights the Knicks had. Remember Jeff Van Gundy wrapped around Alonzo Mourning's, with the Heat, wrapped around Alonzo Mourning's leg, and I said to you, he had the comb over, and the comb over was flapping back and forth, and it was great because you see, like, Oak and those guys was looking at, like, what are you doing? This is what we do. This is not what you do. But just, and I remember being a kid, like, that's my team. Yeah. We even got the coach fighting for us. You know what I mean? Like, that certain moments in sports or certain moments with your fandom kind of cements it. And that was one of the moments that I remember, like, that's why I loved the Knicks.
And then the other one you brought up was Antonio Brown walking off the field taking his jersey off.
I was in the studio with me and Bar Scott, and then the Bucs were on the field going against the Jets, and Antonio Brown was like, I'm done with this, takes off his pad and jersey. While Brady's trying to get the guys, you know, his guys together, Antonio Brown, his star receiver, is running right behind him. By the way, who he, like, pretty much clove and fed during his time in Tampa.
I know.
So it felt so surreal. And so those are moments, like, I'm just like, man, sports is wild.
Oh, it's wild, all right. Got a bunch of calls, actually, on this. Harry and Clifton. What's up, Harry?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
A breath of fresh air listening to you guys.
That's nice.
My incident is from the late 70s. Rick Monday, a fan tried to get onto the field and light the American flag on fire. Rick Monday ran over, grabbed the flag out of the fan's hand, and, you know, saved it, obviously.
Okay. Was that in Los Angeles?
Yeah, that was in Los Angeles.
Wow. That's a good one, Harry. That's one that I've
never heard.
Don't know that I've ever seen that one. I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell. I'm familiar with Rick Monday, obviously, but that one, that's a new one for me. Brian in Northport, what's up, Brian?
Hey, Jerry. How you doing, Willie?
Hey, how you doing?
So I got two that are completely opposite ends of the spectrum. One is, do you remember Nancy Kerrigan getting clubbed by the competitor's attacker?
Yes. But that remind me, that's not, that didn't happen on the ice, right? That was like,
backstage.
It was like in the hallway or something.
That's what it was.
The other is, and a lot of people don't consider it a sport, and I do and always will, is Dale Earnhardt dying in the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the crash. Yeah, that's, that one.
I mean, that's,
that one, though, Brian, so that one more falls in line with, and that's a good one, that falls in line more with, like, you know, horrible injuries and things of that nature. You know, the way this started was more the chaos that can ensue outside of the game, within the game.
Yep.
You know, that, yes. You know, it's so interesting about that. Eddie's not here, but he would remember really well about this. So this radio station has never really discussed NASCAR. It's not our audience. NASCAR, while arguably one of the most popular sports in this country, no question about it, not here, not in New York. It's just not.
Agree.
It has its fans. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's not like if you go down to North Carolina, it's almost every, that and college football is everything.
Right. College football in the South in race in NASCAR is everything.
No doubt.
It's a religion.
So we don't really talk about it. Like, even the Daytona 500, we don't talk about every year or ever. This radio station, for, I would say, and I really wish he was here because he would remember better. I would say the better part of almost a full week was nonstop NASCAR calls.
Oh, wow.
I remember people calling in talking about the braces they wear and the headgear they have and the dangers involved. And it was incredible because none of us knew what in the hell we were talking about. It was more just allowing the listeners and the NASCAR fans to call in and discuss it and give their opinions. And I feel like we got educated about it, but it was amazing to me how much it took over this radio station for how long it did.
Will it ever happen again?
I hope not. I don't want to see anybody die on the race course. Or you mean over the radio station?
Yes, I don't want anybody to die. I mean, like, will there ever be an avenue where the fans could come back and like spill their guts about how much they love NASCAR?
Well, maybe, but I was going to say, like, if you had... Like, we don't really discuss the WNBA all that much. We do, but not that much. You could have an instance with the WNBA where we get flooded with calls about it for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, we only talk about it when they're flying dildos. That
has been the case lately.
It's the only time we've ever talked about it.
Well, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reed, we've talked some, but sadly, that is true. That that has been the conversation this season. Case or Casey in High Point, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Maybe you mentioned it. I think it was that the female tennis player, early 90s. Remember when she got stabbed on the court?
Yeah. We did. Monica Seles. We did mention that one.
Yeah, and then the other one, too. Just there's a lot of that fan interference with baseball and stuff. Yeah. But locally, the Giants Chargers, early 90s, when you know the entire stadium just pegging snowballs. They had to stop the game for that one.
You're right. You're right about that. Yes, at the Meadowlands. I do remember that. That's right. And I think I'd have to go back and look. I want to say Ray Handley was the coach of the Giants at that time. I might have the year confused, but I feel like Ray Handley was the coach. And that was a bizarre scene, too, on the field. And you've had that happen in Philly, too, with the snowballs being thrown.
Yeah, they pegged
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yes, right. That was
the whole... Philly was a different town if you beat up Santa.
It's a different town. That was the headline. Like, they hate Santa. Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, Jerry? What about Mike Milbury and the Boston Bruins versus the New York Rangers?
Was that when Milbury went into the stands and was fighting the crowd?
Yeah.
It was, right?
Into the stands. Yeah, with his skates on.
With his skates on.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yep. Yeah, that's Chris, thanks for checking in. That is a good. So there's a lot of them. I mean, I picked the five that came to mind immediately.
I know.
It's amazing the more you talk to people, how many of these crazy things have transpired. And still, to me, nothing beats the Malice. Nothing beats the Pistons one. Nothing.
No, I mean, the Malice in the Palace just felt like anarchy.
That's why nothing.
Like, we watched Ron Artest square up a fan and sock him in the face.
Like,
we saw Steven Jackson.
The crowd.
Yeah, we saw Steven Jackson and Jermaine O'Neal. Like, they were in the crowd just picking people off. Like, that was nuts. That felt like we were watching WWF.
I remember coming in because I think that was a Friday night. I could be wrong, but I think it was a Friday night. And I'm almost certain I was either doing updates driving in that morning at like 4 o'clock in the morning, or I was running the board. I don't remember. But I remember we're making a big deal. Something, a few guys got into a fight, not thinking it was that big a deal at all. Yeah. I couldn't believe that our radio station in New York was leading with was Pacers Pistons, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it was Pacers Pistons. And I'm like, well, what are we?
Was
doing?
That the turn? And maybe you know because you're more in the weeds with basketball. Was that the turn of the culture of the NBA? Because there was so long how the players were dressing, and they seemed urban and thuggish and all that nonsense. Then the fight happened, and then Stern was like, all right, we got to put these guys in suits to kind of pick them. Was that a long?
It could be. I don't know. I don't know where that line would be. Great job by CBS Sports Network. Rasheed Wallace coming up with the photos very quickly. When I got in, and I get into the station, and I see on the TV, I see the highlights, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, now I see why we're leading with this story. This is a big deal.
It was nuts.
It was crazy.
We're not talking about like two teams just scrapping. I mean, they were knocking out pedestrians.
Yeah. for sure.
Like fans were getting knocked out.
I got to be honest with you. I'm surprised more of this doesn't happen even today with the way fans are now and how vocal fans are and personal too in some cases.
Well, yeah. I mean, because sports betting is so big. More people are entrenched to the sports, right?
Yeah,
now more, not that they didn't care, but now it's like money is literally on the line. Yeah. So they feel like they have an attachment to the player.
Which is also why I think prop betting needs to go away.
Okay.
I do. The betting's fine, but this betting in sports, when you're betting on specific players, that's where it really starts to get personal. And I think a lot of these guys get these death threats and all sorts of crazy stuff.
I've definitely gotten hate mail for sure.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a guy that hasn't played professional sports and never received some type of hate mail.
Here's Brian in Saraville. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Morning.
All right, man. I just wanted to bring up the time, and I think it was 88 or 89 when Clint Malarchuk took a skate to the throat.
To the throat and was bleeding on the ice.
Yes, the large pool of maroon
just
pummeling out. And I remember being a child, I'd watched hockey since I was a young kid. I remember being a child watching that happen and transpire right in front of me. I just thought it was a really crazy, you know, not really driven by chaos or anarchy like the Malice of Palace or anything like that. But, I mean, it was such a scene.
Yeah.
That, you know, something I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Yeah, ever. No, I, you know what, Brian, very good one, because that one, you want to talk about, like, being terrified watching it for the guy.
Yeah, I think that was I don't remember that, but I remember seeing the clip of that. I think for me, and from a football standpoint, it is recent, unfortunately, is DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I remember, like, having guys who played long time in the NFL, like, having conversations with them, talking about how they were, because of that one situation. Mind you, we have seen, if you play football long enough, you've seen some really horrific incidents on the field.
Joe Theismann. 100%. Everyone refers to that one.
But DeMar Hamlin's situation felt, I think for every guy that played the game and now have kids, it was an honest conversation that they had to have with themselves, like, man, that could be my kid.
Yeah.
And we really had to kind of look at ourselves in the mirror, like, man, do we really want our kids to do this? Like, I know more and more guys right now, because of that one situation and how the world just kind of, like, paused, now started pushing their kids towards baseball. You know, now I started pushing their kids to...
You know what the problem with that is? It can happen. I mean, baseball, you take a line drive 100% off the head if you're pitching. 100%.
I agree.
Box.
But I think in the magnitude we saw it...
Sure.
And they have that clip of his mom running down the stadium stairs onto the field. I remember they were reporters outside the hospital. Like, that whole... For like a month or two... We were all like, we paused, right? And I think that was...
They stopped playing. Like, they didn't play the rest of the game.
Yeah. And so I remember it was just like a moment in time I remember... Because I had to jump on SNY and talk about it.
Yeah.
And I remember Ryan Clark, my ex-teammate, him being on ESPN, having an emotional... Him and Van Pelt had this emotional back and forth. Like, multiple analysts and people who either played or in the know really kind of had like this coming to Jesus moment because of DeMar Hamlin.
No doubt. And I talk about, again, Stanton getting back in the batter's box. The fact that he's still playing is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, such a physical sport where that could happen anytime again. One more before the break. Kevin in Jackson. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Nice talking. The 1974, I'm a little older than you guys, the Cleveland Indians did a beer promotion, 10-cent beers.
Yeah.
It ended up, there was a riot in the stands. They poured onto the field, and the Cleveland Indians actually forfeited the game, and the Texas Rangers won it.
Really?
And as punishment, I think now you have to pay, I think, $15 for a beer. So
right.
One more.
That is very true. It is not cheap to get a beer these days.
Imagine if you're like the Dodgers or Padres or somebody, you have tequila night.
No, I couldn't. No.
Can you imagine if a beer night equals a riot, what would tequila night equal?
Let me
mass
say this.
Murders? Would it be the Purge at a ballpark?
You've had some pretty bad brawls in L.A. when the Giants and the Dodgers get together, maybe even the Padres and the Dodgers. That I wouldn't want to see.
You talk about brawls. See what happens when the Niners and Raider fans get together.
Yeah, I believe it. I'm not. That's why.
Like, you talk about fan bases that, like, don't fool with each other. They don't fool with each other. Like, it's like Hatfields and McCoys type action.
I believe
it. It's aggressive.
I believe it. So. That's why, as much as, you know, you can rag on New York from different parts of the country, we don't usually have those issues here. We really haven't.
You won't see a Jets and Giants brawl in the parking lot.
It's rare. They happen, but it is rare.
But it's always like my cousin versus the neighbor's cousin, like, type fight. It's not like two towns meeting to get after each other. It's not. That's not happening.